Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A rescue operation has been mounted in the southeastern Ukrainian city of Zaporizhia. The attack came under a Russian missile attack overnight. Several residential buildings were damaged or destroyed. At least a dozen people were killed. And officials fear others may be trapped beneath the rubble. NPR's Jason Bobian reports on the situation there.
The head of the local military administration in Zaporizhia says that nearly a dozen missiles rained down on the city. Several apartment buildings were destroyed. The Central Command of Ukraine's Armed Forces said on their Facebook page that civilian infrastructure was also damaged without specifying exactly what other targets were hit. It was the second major strike on Zaporizhia in as many days. City officials called on residents to help clear the debris and search for survivors at the collapsed residential buildings. Ukraine is on edge in the wake of a massive explosion on the Crimea Bridge. Russia built the 12-mile-long structure to help solidify control over Crimea after seizing the peninsula from Ukraine in 2014. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Kyiv.
Moscow has ramped up security on Russia's only bridge to Crimea, and Russian divers have been examining the damage today. As the biggest protests against Iran's clerical establishment in years enter their fourth week, anti-government demonstrations are ongoing this weekend in several parts of the country. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports rights groups say at least two people were killed by Iranian security forces.
A video posted to Twitter by the activist group 1500 Tashvir shows a group of riot police beating a couple in the central Iranian city of Rafsanjan. The post says the man can be heard repeatedly asking the police not to beat his wife because she's pregnant. Iran's president, Ebrahim Raisi, meanwhile, visited Al-Zahra University in Tehran, where he recited a poem that equated rioters with flies. But he was confronted by shouts of "get lost" from female students, who also chanted "Mullahs get lost." The protests erupted after 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, detained for alleged improper attire, died in police custody. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
The main evening news program from Iran's state broadcaster was apparently hacked last night. The program was briefly interrupted with an image of Iran's supreme leader surrounded by flames. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Austin, Texas this weekend at the LBJ Presidential Library. She spoke at a forum on reproductive rights more than 100 days after the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade.
One does not have to abandon their faith or their deeply held beliefs to agree that the government should not be making this decision for her.
Harris was in Texas as organizers of the annual Women's March hosted rallies and events in cities across the country. This is NPR News. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is warning the disaster caused by Hurricane Ian is not over. He says major reconstruction is going to be needed to both private homes and infrastructure.
You have Sanibel, which is going to require a lot of TLC. You are now having some restorations on Pine Island. There's more that needs to be done. There was some damage to the infrastructure there. And then, of course, Fort Myers Beach.
DeSantis gave an update on recovery efforts this weekend, saying power has been restored to all areas that have the structural integrity to handle it. A week after Hurricane Ian carved a path of destruction through Florida, Hurricane Julia is pounding Nicaragua. This latest storm made landfall early this morning. Two New York City hospitals will pay $165 million to resolve allegations that a gynecologist abused patients for decades. From member station WNYC, Tiffany Hansen reports.
147 former patients of Robert Haddon reached the settlement with Columbia University Irving Medical Center and New York Presbyterian. Haddon's accusers had alleged that staff at the hospitals where he worked ignored red flags about his conduct. The former New Jersey doctor is currently awaiting trial. While on federal charges, he abused dozens of patients, including minors, under the guise of exams. Haddon, who relinquished his medical license in 2016, has pleaded not guilty. Prosecutors in the case describe him as, quote, a predator in a white coat. Columbia and New York Presbyterian say they deeply regret the suffering of Haddon's patients. For NPR News, I'm Tiffany Hansen.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.